Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So I was like, well, freak, that's an easy trade. Like, that's a just be patient, wait for somebody to make a misstep. And the other thing is, like, I'm not trying to hold this trade for hours.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right, hello everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I am Kyle, your host. Joining me this weekend, I've got Baba Yaga, Bear Goes Long. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Not bad.
Wonderful.
It's Friday, wonderful. Friday.
Bear, can we see those kittens one more time?
I just put them back.
Okay, all right, you can leave. I heard you got some new additions to the family. What was the name?
Yeah, I actually put some pictures on there. Hot Mess Marshmallow.
Hot Mess Marshmallow. I love that. And Ted. one of my dad's girlfriend's brother. I think their cat's name was Bob, and that was hilarious for some reason.
Well, so the Ted actually came from the woman who was fostering for the shelter. Yep. She had like a whole Bill and Ted's theme for all the kittens.
Oh, nice.
And then the white one, so the white and blue eyes, she was what was her name, like Sweet Peach or Sweet Pea or something like that. And we were just kind of looking at her, and she's super affectionate little kitten, but you know, everything is a different color. You know, the ears are different colors, and she's got this like brown nose or black nose with weird little white stripe, and the feet are all different colors. And the woman, and I'd been thinking about this Kentucky Rebel Scum hot sauce, which is freaking amazing. And the family behind that, the woman, that she calls herself Hot Mess School Mom. And the shelter lady's like, oh my gosh, this kitten, you are such a hot mess. We should just name you Hot Mess. And I just burst out laughing. I'm like, yep, I agree. It's her name, Hot Mess. And then I get her home and I show her to my daughter, and my daughter's like, oh, well, she should be Marshmallow. And I said, well, I had a name of Hot Mess. And she goes, oh, that's perfect. Hot Mess Marshmallow. What happens when marshmallows get hot?
Make a hot mess.
Bingo. So, long story longer.
That is a mouthful. That's a commitment for like a reprimand. If you have to like get quickly say something, that's a lot to get out. Yeah, even if you abbreviate it, you know, like HM, Marshmallow. MM, I mean, that's a lot. That's like a lot of syllables.
So, well, yeah, you're going to have to think of something short to call
it. Just mess for short. Hey, mess.
My buddy has a dog named H-E, and it's a girl, so it's he, but it's a female, and he calls the her H-E.
One of the guys I was in the Navy with, he got a dog. His dog's name was D-O-G.
That's respectable. That's classic, right? Similar to like the H-E thing.
Yeah.
H-E was... It's a really interesting dog, but we don't have time to talk about it. But.
No.
Yeah, being a computer geek for many years, I had a cat about 20 years ago that was named Cat 5.
Cat.
I like that.
Y'all know my cats are obviously Calvin and Hobbes. That's my favorite books.
What is this? What are you wearing a costume? What is this? A hoodie and hat? Is this a combo?
No, it's my Coyotes. You know what? Here, I'll tell you what. I'll switch that up for you. Got another one over here ready to go.
Oh, shut up. I have to freak out of here with that.
Is that better?
What is the... I don't know. Is that a hockey team?
They used to be. They're now Mormon. They converted. They moved to Utah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
But still a hockey team?
Yeah. Well, or they're still a hockey team. They're still... Unfortunately, they got really good, like, right when they moved. So now, yeah. Yeah. That was a sad day for me. Thanks for rubbing salt in the wound, Baba, by the way.
Dude, I was just curious what was going on. It looked like, I don't know, it was strange. Yeah, it's
the Phoenix Coyotes, then they turned into the Arizona Coyotes, and now they're the Utah Mammoth. Boo.
Well, you'll have that.
I don't know. Yeah, we root for laundry, right? I think that's what Seinfeld used to say. All right, should we do some show news?
Sure.
All right, I do actually have a little bit of news, and I was kind of talking to you guys a little bit about some of it, but the biggest thing that's going to be changing is that I am not going to be scrambling to do these two-day edits anymore. This episode we're recording right now is going to go out probably a week from today, so I am getting my weekends back, and I am really excited about that. Bob, I got a taste of it this last week, and man, I don't know if I can go back.
Yeah, I completely understand, buddy.
I mean, I don't think that... I know you probably can speak a little bit to it, but I don't think we realize how much time we were spending on some of these projects that we've been doing for the last year and a half.
Yeah, it'll sneak up on you. And yes, I agree. I found myself this week many times thinking, what do I want to do now? I have all this time. Right? Or like, oh, I'm already done and I don't even have to go and log into the computer. I'm just not going to. I'm just going to do other stuff.
I didn't even pull up a chart today at all. I just you know what? It's roll week next week. I don't really feel like it. Yeah. I'm just gonna take the week off. I'm gonna take next week off too. It's gonna be great.
Little taste of I think that and like there's a grind seasons. They come and go. I anticipate at some point I'll be much more on the grind. Just because in the past I've been on the grind and then off the grind. So I'm going to, but yes, to your point of when you take a little step back. Yeah. And it's really refreshing.
Right.
So yeah, this week felt really atypical. I mowed my lawn twice this week.
I mowed my lawn during the week, not on a weekend. Like I usually only mow on Sundays. If I don't make it on Sunday, I'm just going to skip a week.
Dude, I went Tuesday, Friday. It's looking great. Striped it one way the first time, striped it the other way the second time. You know, I'm going to be working on those diamonds before long.
Tell Banks those fucking mole traps he told me to go pick up. Don't do shit.
He was supposed to call me back this afternoon, actually, I think, and he didn't. So it's I'll get it to him at some point. But
I got one other thing I got to throw out here. Hey, Barry, remember that post that you had where you were looking all sad face trying to figure out what I was talking about with Sean Sawyer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we have a new mini series that we're launching that's going to be probably starting to record. Let's see. I think we're shooting for the 23rd, but I don't know if that's been confirmed yet. But it's going to be basically, we're going to dig into all the main trading emotions that we've identified. So like fear, euphoria, greed, hope.
Oh, perfect.
Do an episode on each one of those. We've identified six that we're going to start with, but I guess see how it goes from there. And if people want to hear more, if they want to suggest their own emotions, then, you know, send them our way. We're also going to be recording those in Sean's Discord, this free but private mm-hmm. Discord. So if you want to participate in that, just shoot me, Bear, or Sean Sawyer a DM. We'll try to work you guys out access to get in there. Fair warning, if you message me, Bear, or Sean, and we get you access to that Discord, you better show up to those recordings or at least leave some good comments, because otherwise I'll boot your ass back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, is he pulling some of the content? I know he's got another class coming up here.
No. We were actually talking about this before that class.
So this is going to be totally independent from the class. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
And actually, that's what will be going. That's what people have listened to last week, actually. Now, this is going to be all thrown out. I got my own schedule all mixed up. Yeah. The episode you just listened to last week was with Sean Sawyer talking about that class that you are mentioning. Should be starting in, was it the Sunday after, the week after Father's Day. So, yeah, that'll be.
Oh, next Sunday.
That'll be when I, pretty much after I air this.
Okay.
God damn it. One day into some changes, we're already fucking everything up.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty much it for news. You guys got anything you want to share?
So by the time this episode airs, you know, future us, we'll know the result of the Israeli-Iran war.
Right. Barry, you're asking about headlines and trade. I wasn't trading at all when that dropped. Actually, my wife, I think, was the one who told me when I woke up in the morning. She's like, "Did you see Iran and Israel are like bombing each other?" I'm like, jeez. God damn, dude. Israel is like...
No, I was... Yeah.
They weren't messing around this time.
No. Actually, I was actually in a... So I do private therapy sessions with Sean.
Yeah.
And so I was actually in a session with Sean last night, and we're just about to hang up, and he pops and he goes, "Holy crap! ES just dropped 70 points while we were in the session." And I'm like, "What the..."
Not overnight, Jesus.
Not overnight, no. I mean, in like 30 minutes or less.
It was it was after hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Like, what do I want to say? Like 6, 7 p.m. your time? 7 p.m. Yeah. Central? 7:30.
That's about the same size as like the CPI move, wasn't it?
It was bigger than the CPI move. It was 70 ES points.
Yeah.
It dropped all the way down to the 59.28, I think was the low.
What was our big bullish move on news? I thought Wednesday had some pretty good.
I did. I think it was about 35-40 points off the top of my head.
Bob, I figured you'd been trading that one, actually. That's like right in your wheelhouse.
When was this? What day?
Wednesday morning, an hour before the open. Yeah, it was Wednesday.
Yeah, when like CPI and all that stuff dropped.
Yeah, PPI.
Did I trade? Let's see. I did trade Wednesday.
I think that was the day we traded live, but that was like right after.
Yeah.
That big. Is it? I'm pretty sure that.
Yeah, it was a nice push. Yeah. It was a nice push because actually it was. It did one of those crazy wiggles for, you know, 12 seconds after the news drop. And then it just did a nice steady climb right for the next hour. Just a nice little melt up.
Nice.
I was trying to see. Trying to pull up Wednesday here and take a peekaboo at it. What was the date of Wednesday?
What's the date today? Today's Friday the 13th, isn't it?
Friday the 13th, so they've been the 11th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Wednesday.
But yeah, after the move, I got into a long and cashed out and left some runners and just left the runners up into the open. Oof.
Man, I got bottom ticked on Thursday that almost broke my soul. I had to take the rest of the day off.
Oh, ouch.
That was like low a day, too. I don't know. I don't know that entry even got touched until probably that Iran news.
Oof.
Yeah, you're going to have those some days, right?
You will. You will.
Yeah. It's part of trading.
Yeah. The good thing is, though, I didn't chase it. I didn't blow an account trying to get it back. It was a one and done. It was much better than five and done.
In there, done yes. That.
Yeah, I'm sick of those. I don't want to do that anymore.
Mm-mm, not fun.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Baba, tell me about your trading this week. You've been telling a lot less is more. You're telling us before we click the mics on.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have Let me get back to where I can see you guys. Sorry. If you listened to the last podcast, we made some changes in the room, and then I left for a week on vacation.
After you told everyone you weren't leaving.
Yeah, and so I was gone for a week. So we kind of made some changes in the room, and I was gone for a week, or a little, I guess a little more than a week. Then came back, and while I was gone,
I was going to say, you turned into a platinum trader somehow.
Well, one of the things I was looking at, and Banks has made fun of me about it already, but I don't care.
Mr. What does he trade? Natural everything, gas.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Widowmaker?
Silver. Silver is the Widowmaker. There's and a copper. A lot of
Widowmakers.
Like I was looking for something different. I was just, I wasn't in love with where we were just approaching with all of the unrest and stuff just at large. And I do also feel like I, over the last couple months, just, you know, could say plainly that, like, I was fortunate with the position, directional position that I happened to be in at certain times with certain announcements. So I know that, like, while every, you know, they could have easily gone a different way, you know? So I felt like I had, I don't know, been fortunate in that aspect and kind of dodged most of the crazy stuff. And yeah, just, I was like, well, let's just look at a bunch of different products while we're laying on the beach, or while we're just doing nothing, and see if there's anything that just seems to be positioned in a more interesting place than maybe indexes are, or, you know, whatever. And so I did stumble upon this old girl named Platinum.
What's the symbol?
PL. And I was doing some looking at just where it was on the, you know, bigger picture, and we're talking like weekly picture. Because one of the things that with the alleviated, like, everyday 9:30 trade be in the room is, like, I could trade whenever and really whatever, because I know that, like, not a lot of people probably are looking at Platinum, or, you know, more CL traders, but maybe not as many. And in our room, like, NQ and ES was kind of the main two, and for most people probably that's true. But anyway, so I'd stumbled into looking at Platinum, and it was like on a big picture time frame, it had really lived in kind of some balance. Geez, I think it was like a year over year balance down multiple years of balance down in like the low, I don't know the numbers, so forgive me, I'm not looking at it, but like low, really bottomed out in the 900 range or something. And I was like, geez, man. So I volume profiled everything and looked at all of it and kind of did my normal support resistance kind of look. And I was like, geez, this is really positioned well where it's rotated above this yearly value area mid. And that, like, next week will open in general proximity, if not slightly above. Like, I would be bullish this asset to 1,292 or 93. That rotation through the value. And so I was like, well, freak, that's an easy trade. Like, that's a just be patient, wait for somebody to make a misstep. And the other thing is, like, I'm not trying to hold this trade for hours. I'm trying to hop in this trade, scalp a reasonable amount, you know, and be finished, you know, reasonably quick.
Did you get into that on Wednesday while you're, because I remember you talking about that. I didn't know.
Last Friday.
Oh, you I did traded on Friday. Platinum. Okay.
Well, because I was back. Wasn't I back that week, and we traded Friday together? Or was that Monday?
I thought that was like Wednesday. Or
I think Monday we traded. I don't know. I know I traded predominantly that product this week. And what's fun is, what I would say is, like, there's a stability-ish to it in similar fashion to bonds, and it also, but it's way less size, so we're not talking, you know, hundreds of contracts at a price point, But also, it's kind of like it can.
Is it thin like silver?
It's very rotate. It's thin. It's a little bit thin. So limiting is really important. Patience is important, which is fine because I'm not sitting here, you know. And so, yeah, but more than any of that, it was just, where is this product positioned? And do I think I have a distinct advantage trading one side? And the answer was yes, most certainly. The long side seems very easy. And so I just traded a much lower number of trades this week, much more infrequent, only around key spots. They made it really easy. They gained a 15-minute that turned into gaining a 1 hour and trapped a bunch of delta, and it was like off to the races from there, basically. And so then it was just, you know, wait till a reasonable pullback into like a 10 p.m. hour where somebody fumbles the bag again, and then just slice them, chop them for a move back through the open price or a little higher, right, or whatever. Right. Whoops, we'll have to edit that, Laura. Sorry.
What, does he not want his name being said?
Probably not. One of the guys in our room, I messaged him about it, and it was funny. I was in, I think, three or four platinum contracts, scaled out of all three, and then just left a break-even stop and let the runner run overnight. Woke up the next morning, I was like, geez, this is so fun. Like, you know, close it out, you know, 8:30, 8 o'clock, and then I'm done. Like, I'm more than done. I could, you know, take the day off, take the next day off if I want to. So it's a lot of talking to say that I really enjoyed that flexibility to kind of purvey the market at large and find CL was another one that was positioned well for a move higher out of some balance. That was cool. Traded very little.
Were you holding that through last night?
Do what?
I was going to say that CL, did you hold that through last night?
No, I didn't trade a lot of CL, but it was another one that was a candidate for some of that kind of trading.
Last night after the attack launched,
I'm sure
6 or 8% or there was some conversation about 13%. I don't know.
Jeez. Yeah, but it was just fun. It was different. And you know, a platinum is $5 a tick, so it's similar to NQ in that way. But the math of it's a little different. It's $50 a point. So where NQ is $20 a point, right? So we're 25-cent increments versus 10-cent increments. So there's a little different math with it. But if you think of just like in terms of risk, like, okay, on the trade, I'm going to risk this many dollars in U.S. dollars on NQ. Or so I just looked at how does that math translate over to platinum. It translated over really well. And then looking at like average rotation size and all that stuff before jumping in there and slinging a bunch of stuff, it was like, man, this really fits kind of my desired profile. And for like a product, you know, like silver gets complicated. So platinum, and I don't trade. That's the Widowmaker.
He used to be, I think, a lot more into a lot more markets, and then he kind of settled into NQ for.
I used to be a lot more variance in what I traded. I started out trading gold and oil back in the day. So yeah, NQ. The thing that has gotten annoying, or had gotten a little annoying to me, is NQ. And ES is not so much this way, but NQ. You know, it's you're going to be rewarded for your risk in NQ most of the time. Meaning, like, if you give a little bit of room, you're going to get, you know, unless you're just on the wrong side of something crazy. But getting an entry in NQ that kind of you get filled and then you get, and it gets going, has progressively gotten a little bit difficult for me, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, just a little, like, I just have to kind of work a little harder to get positioned where I feel like I was safe, you know, where I could let it ride.
I was feeling that in ES this week and even last week a little bit too, which is why I kind of stepped back quite a bit this past couple of weeks. If you're gonna make it difficult, then just like
And so platinum just seemed to this week afford, at least this week, afford opportunities to get positioned easily. Platinum has some nuances to the way it moves. Like anything else, it loves to sweep something. But NQ loves to sweep something, then sweep it one more time, then sweep it again, then tag it back there one more time, you know.
And then stop you at a break even.
Yeah, so it was fun, man. I mean, this week was a great week, just from the standpoint of like, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, yeah. It just felt very, like, relaxed.
It was what you probably envisioned when you first stepped onto the journey.
Yes, right? That, and it also felt real familiar, like what things used to feel like.
Interesting.
You know, like, so I think a lot, I don't know, I never thought that trading with or like in front of anybody really mattered to me. Like, I didn't consciously think that much about it, but who knows, maybe the jury's still out, but it feels like maybe, you know, it is easier to just, I would say it this way. It's way easier to be completely selfish about how you're trading and what you're doing. And it's much easier to do that when, you know, you're not sharing the screen to 5 or 10 right. or 20 people, you know, like I can right. just be completely selfish.
It's definitely a double-edged sword with that though, is then it becomes a lot easier to do stupid things too, when you know there's nobody looking over your shoulder.
Yeah. I'm not really into stupid things so much though.
Oh, yeah, I prefer not to do those things, too.
I mean, you know, that's the other thing. Like, it's the other thing is the trade frequency. So, like, take a stop at NQ, recover the level, take another entry, or lose a level, regain it, lose it again on NQ. Like, that kind of thing happens a lot with Platinum, not so much. Like, seems to be a little more, like, easier to trust what's going on. Like, yeah. just kind of straightforward in that way. At least that this week it traded that way. And looking back at And I looked at years and years of daily and 4-hour data. I didn't just willy-nilly pull up a chart I'm not familiar with. I mean, I ran rotation studies. I ran delta, like how much delta needs to get stuck somewhere for it to be responsive. And
he didn't do it the way I do it.
No, I mean,
just,
I did all
the, I see my pattern on a chart. I'm just going to hit it. I don't care.
I mean, that's fine. If hey, if that works, no, roll it with it, baby. But so I dialed in my Renko charts, you know, right. I mean, I got my rotations and my reversals and all that. And, you know, I'm still looking at literally the same stuff. So same style of Renko, looking at the same standard deviation bands for rotation length, still looking at
Delta ATRs.
Do what?
Same ATRs, essentially. You said rotation ranges.
Well, I mean, on the product, but yeah, the same, like all the tool set is the same. So looking at Delta, I've got, you know, how much Delta needs to get trapped for it to be typically responsive. I'm still looking at horizontal support resistance through the lens of gaining and losing a leg or support, like from trend start to trend start, all of that. I've settled on a little higher time frame. So I brought the time frame for that. I'm kind of looking at 2 time frames to keep me kind of rotationally minded instead of like entire move, like a 4-hour leg minded. And I think that's been helpful. But still doing all the same work, you know, value balance, rotations, ranges, delta, support resistance horizontally, but just on a product that seems to be a little more friendly right now. Now, we come into this next week, everybody, I don't want everybody to be like, oh, you know, he said Platinum's bullish. We wanted to see 293 trade.
Well,
or whatever.
Remember, too, this is going to be like a weekend on the road, too.
Oh, yeah. So this date is 6/13. This day is 6/13. I closed my last long, though. This feels so good, like so rewarding, because I closed my last long last night at 1291.40. And my overall big picture target for Platinum was 92.
Oh, so you cheated yourself.
No,
I'm just kidding.
I didn't. I'm sorry. I had this.
You missed your 250. Or $10 or whatever it would have been.
It was 60 cents, brother. you know, it was just, that was my last long I took on the product. And now, like, we have a 2-day balance. We have our 3-day balance, 3 days of value overlapping. We move back into a 2-day balance, and we're right in the middle of the value of that 2-day balance. So, like, now we have some more nuanced structure to mess around with here, but, yeah, just I don't know, man. It's a lot. That's a lot of talking. It was a fun week. It was enjoyable.
We should one of these days we do a stream. We should have you just do a Platinum day one of these days.
Platinum day.
Yeah, we'll just have you stream some Platinum. Show us how it works.
Yeah.
Put on some nice techno.
Yeah.
You know, and I was actually you know what's also funny? This is interesting too. I'm not a macro guy at all, but like I wanted to know about the product. I wanted to know about the Cause I don't know anything about platinum, dude. I mean, I know nothing about it. I understand NQ. I understand how it's made up. I understand what I'm trading. I understand all that. I understand ES. I understand all the, you know, what's in YM. What is our Russell made up of? I get all
platinum
that.
Is just platinum, a bulk of metal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a chunk of metal. Okay, so what is platinum? Like, what is the?
Are you getting refined or are you getting ore? Or
that's a good question. I might not know the answer to that. I was just thinking, okay, so let's learn about platinum a little bit. So that was also fun on vacation to just research platinum apart from trading, just like as a mineral. How does it compare to gold or silver?
I knew is the biggest usage of platinum is in auto manufacturing and
catalytic converters. It's all over that. Actually, that, you can. I've watched a guy gold pan on the side of the highway because of like microscopic traces of the catalytic converters getting deposited on the road as cars drive by. Yeah,
it's just not buy much, some but... futures contracts, dude. It's a little bit easier than that. Yeah. The fun thing is it's very rare. There's a couple countries that contribute mainly to the claiming of that mineral.
It's got very low resistance, right? So it's really good in electrical fields.
But, a lot of jewelry applications, a lot of automotive applications.
It's not as soft as gold, right?
So hardware applications. Yeah. It's softer than gold.
Is it softer? Really?
I'm pretty sure it's softer. I bought my wife a ring when we got engaged that is platinum, set in platinum. So I thought I was a baller. And the prongs on that, it's a solitaire diamond. And the prongs that hold that are also platinum. And then they bend. Like, we have had to take that ring to be repaired a million times. Because the prongs that hold this, you know, freaking solitaire diamond, platinum. I said, babe, I really thought I was doing something like I'm a boss. And that was, like, the biggest mistake ever, is getting a platinum ring.
Just bought her a chore.
Basically. I mean, it's been in the shop. Like, it's like, oh, man. It's like buying an import or something. Like, it's just been in the shop all the time.
We had something else, Barry. What was the other thing you're going to tell us about? You're going to update us on that dog bite, I think.
History isn't just boring names and dates. It's weird, messy, and full of what-were-they-thinking moments. The Buck Starts Here dives into the financial fiascos, questionable deals, and outright chaos that helped build America, $1 at a time. We mix in serious history from a fresh perspective. Real, deep dives into the numbers and the moments that shape the country without the boring lecture. From presidential blunders to almost states and the time an international war almost started over a pig, we break down the key events that made, and nearly broke, the nation. It's the fascinating untold history you won't find in the textbooks. Subscribe to the Buck Starts Here podcast for a deeper look at presidential history that's anything but dull.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah. So these guys can see, you can still see a couple of the marks here from the bite. From the dog. So this was a rescue dog, the next city over, and the family that's been fostering this dog for like the last 6-8 months is getting ready to move to Alaska. And, you know, basically they're coming out and they're going, "Hey, you know, we got a new home. We got to rehome this dog." And I meet this dog and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this dog is so special needs. I mean, just super skittish, terrified.
Yeah.
The dog was found tied to a dumpster behind a gas station.
Oh man. I mean, somebody needs everything. To be tied behind a dumpster that did that.
Yeah.
And set on fire. Yes, absolutely. Oh, whoever did this to this dog. And this poor dog is just a trauma. I mean, walking trauma case. And he was so funny because he just, all right. You know, you'd be like petting him and he'd be like super happy and you'd scratch him and he'd be like, super happy and just life is good. And like 45 seconds later, he's like, "Who are you? And what are you going to do to hurt me?" And just like a dementia payment. It was so sad.
Oh, man.
So about a week ago, I'd had him for about a week and we were out doing our morning walk and, you know, just, I was having a real struggle just getting him to eat and drink and all these things. And, you know, like the night before, I literally just sat there and had fed him treats because he wasn't, that was the only thing he would eat. But he did one of this of, you know, "Oh, we're best friends." And then like 2 minutes later, I like leave the room and I come back and he's freaking out and he pops out of his harness and, you know, pops out the door. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to chase him because the last time I chased him, he kind of bit me. And,
right.
You know, he's a scared dog. He's a trauma dog. And I was like, you know, I'll go check on him. And so it's about a quarter mile to my mailbox from the house and about 300 feet up the road. From the mailbox, he was lying in the middle of the road dead.
Oh, and no. What?
It was not hit by a car, anything else. It literally, you know, no marks on him. Fresh pile of poop a few feet away. He was probably straining and popped a vessel and that was it.
I thought you had a good story. Man, that was
That's pretty depressing. Downer.
No. It is
okay.
A downer, except for, this is a dog who was tortured and was just terrified. And you know,
got to experience that last moment of freedom running down the road, chasing something.
Yeah, he got some time. He got some, you know, the people that was taking care of him for the last 6 months, they were wonderful people. I know they did as much as they could for this poor dog. I gave him a week of, you know, running around the farm and getting a lot more room to roam and good food. And dude, he died free.
Yeah.
He died free running down the road. I don't know what else to ask for.
Sweet glimpse of freedom as he's chasing whatever off into the sunset.
Okay. I don't know.
You could spin that into a somewhat happier story, I guess.
Yeah. Or you can say, you know, hey, you know, the last dog that bit me dropped dead a week later.
Jeez, Bear.
God, I thought this was going to be happier.
I thought it was going to be a happy story too. So you showed the wound pattern.
Yes.
We've been watching this John O'Keefe trial. Have you guys heard anything about it?
Nope, nothing.
It's in Boston.
Please enlighten me.
Okay, so it's in Boston, which is why we're kind of like interested. But not only is it in Boston, but John O'Keefe is like the name of the guy that hired us to do Boston Blockchain. So it's like the same name. In the same city, not the same guy, thank God.
Right, right.
So that's how we got, like, I think, sucked into it to begin with. But now this whole thing is about this guy who got killed somehow. The prosecution's claiming that this woman backed into him in a driveway. It knocked him backwards and left him for dead. And is like in the middle of a blizzard. And I think he knocked him out, and like he ended up like hypothermia, like froze to death.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that she did it, but there's like all these weird like cuts and stuff on his arms that they're trying to say came from the taillight, but they're getting pressed. The defense is getting all these experts on there. They're talking about dog bite patterns, pattern recognition, dog bite trauma. There's all these things. The house that this happened in, the people that lived there, they sold the house like the next day. There's all these weird text messages between the two cops that live there. They're all cops, by the way. John O'Keefe is a cop.
Oh!
No mention of the dog that used to live in that house that's now gone. They got rid of it like literally the next day after this man was found dead in their yard. This whole freaking case has just been insane. And then you throw it on top of it. I don't know how many times I've heard the word dog bite patterns, dog bites, dog bite expert. It's like this whole case has gotten crazy, man.
It's crazy to me that y'all are in it, though.
Dude, I don't know how. I wasn't at all.
You're stuck.
My wife has been just listening to court transcripts, just listening to like the actual court proceedings. And there you walk in and like you suddenly get sucked in. It's way better than, Blacklist or the other crappy dramas we watch it on TV.
Wow. See, in here, I thought you were going to like some story about, you know, experiencing dog bites and stuff. And,
nope.
And so here's my PSA.
I mean, I have one right
ever. Yeah, if you ever get bit by a dog, go into the doctor and get your freaking antibiotics.
I will also say never go backwards when you're at a dog that's getting aggressive.
Yeah. Never get between. Never try to break up two dogs that are fighting.
Oh, that's another
unless
good
one. You've got like ropes and you're on outside of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean dog bites, your chances of getting an infection from a dog bite are really, really high, and it's not pretty.
Really? I thought dogs' mouths were cleaner than humans.
Well, apparently that's
how
a lie.
Yeah. Human mouth.
All right, right.
I mean, seriously. I
know. Yeah, if you bit me, I'd probably be going to the hospital too.
You definitely got to get that checked out.
Bear, what happened to these ribeyes I saw you posted on Twitter?
So, one of these hobbies I've gotten into the last, 7-8 years now is wet aging.
My dad used to talk about that all the time. So that's just when you leave it in the package in the fridge for like 15 extra days.
Well,
right?
it's got to be air sealed,
vacuum tight container.
Oxygen,
right?
Yeah. Oxygen is the enemy. Yeah. So there's two kinds of aging for meats specifically, but there's dry aging where basically you're hanging the meat in a super, you know, dry, chilled, you know, like 34 degree.
Aren't you usually coating it too? I watch those Gouda videos and like he does all those crazy things with like honey and wine, butter. When he dry ages his steaks, he'll coat them in like weird shit.
Yeah. So there's like a whole esoteric art form around there. But even just regular dry aging, you know, like you might use like, because you're going to be doing salt encrusted and herbs and some other stuff that'll work in there. And dry aging is like a 40, 50 day process. And the alternative, and it's, you know, fairly intensive. The alternative is wet aging, and it's with wet aging, you're vacuum sealed. So you have to get all the oxygen out, and you're just basically just letting the meat rest and break down. And so it breaks down. I don't know the specific chemistry behind there, but the collagens and the fats and these different connective tissues break down, and it gets insanely tender.
Really?
Huh.
It gets a different taste too. Doesn't get like almost like a nuttiness or like a kind of a,
I think that's more dry.
That's probably dry. I don't know that I've really tried wet aging before.
So now, but the advantage of wet aging is it's a lot lower maintenance. It's really, it's just, you know, vacuum seal it in a really, really good container.
So if you go and buy like a chunk of prime rib or, you know, like a rack or whatever, like those come sealed, like in Sam's Club, can you just leave it in that bag and just throw that in your fridge?
Depends on the bag. So
make sure there's no air bubbles in there first.
that's part of it. But yeah, so it's like if you're buying whole packers. So what I do is I buy 20-ish pound packers of boneless ribeye from Costco, Sam's, same stuff. And it's you'll see the packaging is like a really thick, heavy plastic, and that's a cryovac bag.
Okay.
And The longest I have gone successfully in a cryovac bag is 6 months. And, you know, I have a section of my fridge that I keep like 30, 32 degrees, you know, super chill. So, and so just enough to not get ice in there, not to freeze the meat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll turn it every 4 to 6 weeks. And that's more than anything just to watch it. Because what you're watching for is as soon as you start getting air bubbles start forming inside that bag, that's when you've got a reactive process. And now you've got oxygen. So now you've got bacteria starting to grow. And so that's it.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you get air bubbles popping up in that bag, you're done. You can pull it out right then. Like I said, I've gone 6 months.
Is it still usable at that point? Or does that mean it's like
At that point, it's perfect.
Okay.
No,
okay.
That's like peak harvest time.
Hmm.
You pull it out then, you slice that puppy up into steaks, and it is unbelievably tender. I mean, like the raw ribeyes, you actually want them really cold when you're carving up that 20-pound packer. Because they just like fork tender. And then you cook them and they're really fork tender. So what I do is I'll cut them up and then I'll vacuum seal individual steaks again. And you know, I'll save some of them to cook. And the dogs love it, or the dog loves it, because, you know, they'll get scraps as I chop, you know, carve up this big chunk of meat.
My cat will tear them out of the trash can if I'm not watching carefully.
Yeah. And so that's the ideal. Like I said, I've done that up to 6 months. I usually do like 3 or 4 months just because of however much fridge space I have available for this little project.
Yeah.
And the last fridge I had, I didn't have as much room, so I can only basically do like one at a time. Where the fridge I had before and the fridge I have now, I could do like 100 pounds in rotation if I really wanted to.
You ever do pork belly?
Pork belly, turn it into bacon. Yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
I've been wanting to make my own pancetta.
I don't know about pancetta.
It's basically like just the pork belly, like the bacon, but you just roll it, I think, and tie it off, and you kind of do the same thing. Like you salt it. And. But like we make carbonara all the time. And like you do that with pancetta instead of bacon. It's so good. Ugh.
Yeah, I've done bacon a couple of times. It was so high maintenance. It was like, this is cool.
That's what I was afraid of. Yeah.
I was reading about it. Check the box and don't need to do that again. So basically the long story short on this 20-pound chunk of ribeye, it was a beautiful chunk of ribeye.
No.
I actually saw those air bubbles pop up like 2 months ago.
2 months?
Maybe. Yeah, 2 months ago. So usually when you get the air bubbles, you have like a few days.
Yeah.
And I knew this. And at the time I was in the middle of, you know, I'm still in the middle of building a house, but I've actually made more progress in the last 2 weeks than the last 2 months. Side note. But I saw this and I'm like, crap, I am not in a position, because that time I didn't actually have a sink. So I was like, I'm not a position to carve this thing up. I have no way to do this. I'm just going to put it back in the fridge and I'm going to pray.
Right.
And if I'd pulled it out a month ago, I might have been able to save it. And I pulled it out today.
Could you have just frozen it at that point?
Maybe.
I don't know. God, that sucks. Good question, dude.
No, it's okay. I mean, I cut open the bag today because I knew.
Yeah.
I've known. I cut open the bag today and the smell hit me, and it wasn't like rotting corpse smell. It was just off. It was just meat that was just a little bit off. Maybe that nutty smell you were talking about, but a little too strong. So strong that even the dog, like, I'm handing the dog cuts of, you know, like raw meat that I've cut. And she's like looking at it and she's like, nah. Oh,
man. You know,
and the dog says it want it. I'm screwed.
And what did you said this is 28 pounds?
It was 20 pounds. Yeah. It was a $240 piece of ribeye.
Man. Where'd you get it? Sam's or Costco? One of those?
Costco.
God, they make good meat there too.
You're gonna have to make that up.
Yeah, it's gonna be a painful one.
I'll pick up another packer this weekend. But this one is going to get carved up in the next week into steaks. I might get two and start wet aging another one, but yeah.
Bear, where do you live again? You're in Montana somewhere, right?
Yeah. South Central Montana.
South Central. How close is that to Wyoming? Like Laramie?
Wyoming's like 35, 40 miles from where I'm at. state line.
Okay, I might be like in your neck of the woods coming up here soon.
Where are you going to?
I got a friend who called me up. Works at I couldn't remember if it's a cement plant or a gravel factory or something like that. It's over in Laramie. Looking, they might need an automation guy to help them out for a couple weeks. So I might be running out there to go fill in for a bit.
I think Laramie's like down south into the state.
Yeah, it's at the corner of the border. It's like right next to, it's real close to like Colorado. Yeah.
Colorado. Oh, it's right.
Right on the eastern like border.
Colorado and, Colorado and Nebraska.
Yeah. So if I get stuck down there for a couple of weeks, I might be hitting you up and going to visit you on the weekend.
That's like six, seven hours. It's not bad.
That's not bad at all. I can do that. I can do that on a day trip.
No.
Yeah. Be fun.
Just pop down there 7 quick hours.
Yeah. It's not like on Baba's side of the coast where 6 hours you can drive through 4 states.
Well, in some states, South Carolina.
Nah, not South Carolina.
Yeah, maybe. if you go corner to corner, it'll probably take that long. East to west, straight across. Probably. Well, it's a little over 4 hours from where we are in the northwest corner to get to the coast.
What did you? We go. Were you at Myrtle Beach? Is that where you guys ended up going? Or
no one from South Carolina would ever admit to going to Myrtle Beach.
Yes, admit to it.
That place is. I'm sorry. That's like. I mean, it's a little north of there is cool, yeah. But.
Well, I thought that's what.
No, Myrtle Beach is okay. Yeah. I mean, we went there growing up. It was very touristy, very like busy. Like we go to.
That's what everybody wanted to do when I was going to school there.
We go to Edisto Island. So
I think I know that name.
The joke of Edisto is it's stuck in like 1960. Yeah, you know,
it's awesome.
It's just so laid back. It's you go out on the beach. You know, there's people, but not that many.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's the way I love
fishing's
it,
yeah. Good. Crabbing's good. Shrimping's good.
That's right. You said you were catching blue crab.
Oh yeah, we steamed fresh blue crab for dinner. We cooked fresh shrimp for dinner.
I was just looking through some. I found an old mallet in my shit that I think I was like 14 or 15. My dad came to visit in Phoenix to do some class for the military or Tinker or wherever he's working at the time. I was in Tucson, so I came up to stay with him for the weekend while I was doing that class. And one of the places we ate at was a crab shack place, and like they gave away little mallets that you use to beat open the crab that nobody uses.
Yeah.
If you know how to eat a crab, you don't use the mallet, right?
Right.
But yeah, I ended up taking that. I still have that thing. I've had that thing for like 30 years.
Nice. That's funny. Right? Yeah, that whole process of so my son and myself and my nephews,
mm-hmm.
We did all the fishing together. My dad was there, and my brother-in-law's as well, but. Mostly like me, my dad, and my son, and one of my nephews. We spent most of our time fishing together, and it was so fun to.
You guys know that song that put the crab in the bucket? Put the crab
in
the bucket.
No, we did a lot of that. And one cool thing is my son, he can throw a cast net fine, especially like just going for like.
The big ones or the
his is small. I mean, he couldn't throw a my net because he
like
can't
the 6 foot.
It's so
like,
much of it, but yeah, like a 5.5. Five
I could
foot.
Throw the 6 foot or 5 foot, but like those big ones, like you get to fold like 3 different ways. Like
mine's like 8 to 10 feet.
Yeah,
it's not
no,
huge,
that's,
but
that's too big for me.
He will always be like, "Hey, will you catch some bait fish? They're so hard for me to catch some bait fish." So I would catch bait fish and then. Give them to him, then he would do the fishing.
Nice.
One of the fun things about the trip is he got on a school of bait fish all by himself and caught them.
Nice.
And then used them for bait and then landed a shark
nice.
In the surf, which was awesome because when that happens, what? Everybody comes to come see what you caught, you know, which was really cool for him. So he like did all, like this is the first year he's done all of that by himself, you know, like
nice.
Got the bait, hooked the bait. Threw the bait out, set the rod up, caught the fish, landed the fish, the whole thing.
Did you guys have
thing, so.
Shrimp for bait too? I always found shrimp worked well out in the East Coast.
Yeah, some we fished with some shrimp, but we were eating a lot. We were saving a lot of it to eat.
I don't blame you.
So, well, we fished with a lot of shrimp.
That's my favorite thing about fishing the ocean is you can eat your bait. I mean,
yeah,
calamari
yeah.
Sure. Is just come on.
Yeah, nice. We caught
We caught a bunch of flounder. They were all undersized, so we couldn't keep any of those, man. Which was so disappointing.
You could pan fry those. That's like one of the best.
Oh my gosh, I know. Trust me. That and we struggled with the sea trout this year. No sea trout landed, which is unfortunate because those are
you know those croakers, the ones that just make the little those are actually freaking delicious.
Yeah, we did not eat any. We caught a couple, not many, not big.
I think I was catching some of those out on the West Coast when we went to go to San Diego one of the last times we were out there.
They make that weird noise when you put your finger in their mouth.
Or when you pick them up, they just sound like a bullfrog almost.
Yeah. Briggs got a trip. He got a kick out of that. He was like, dude, listen.
Well, no, my dad did. We went to a place in Galveston one year. It was awesome. We had this pier that we fished on like all day. And then we stayed in this hotel. It's called the Flagship that was on a pier too. So we went up into our room. We were on like the 13th floor and we had a balcony. And so we just, after fishing all day, we went up to the balcony and started fishing off of there.
No way. It was right that ringing. Close. That's crazy. No,
it was way up there. And then my dad forgot like his pliers and his... like the stuff to actually get the things out of the hooks off of the fish. So we're catching mullets, like the hardhead ones, and we're having to whack them against the side of the building to knock them out so they wouldn't hook us with their stingers.
The other thing, the crazy thing.
Now you wish you had that mallet.
I know, right?
Yeah, exactly. Where's that 30-year mallet? Well, the other thing is like a lot of stuff you catch out of the ocean has teeth too.
God,
like,
I know.
It's all edible, head? But have you seen
that? Those things look like they got like teeth like you do.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like
this, God, that thing's got dentures like Washington.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. But, the coast is fun. I love the mountains. We're close to mountains. Obviously, it's, like, preferred. But
I'd love to get out there and do some fishing with you one of these days, man.
I love a salt. I feel like, dude, put me on a lake in a bass boat, and I'm way more capable. Put me on the coast, and I feel the joke is like a low tider, like... You know, like I would like to consider myself like savvy about the outdoors, but I feel like we have fun. We catch fish. We eat them. It's great. But like I just always feel like I feel like I'm missing one key piece of information that would like make this fishing experience. Like I want to catch more edible stuff. Yeah. Right. So I want to catch bigger flounder. I want to catch more like sea trout. They eluded me this year, which is unfortunate. Sea bass, any of that kind of stuff.
Did you have any of those stringers like that look like little tiny flies almost? The hooks on them are tiny, but they use them for catching like bait fish for mackerel, like those kinds of things. Those are actually really handy for catching just something, like if you just want to make sure you're
right
getting something. Yeah,
you know, we fish like we rigged a bunch. We had like multiple rigs, like some
you usually end up like stacking like two or three lines with the big sinker.
Yeah, we had some of that. We had some singles. We had some stuff that would go with the current with like round weights. We had some stuff that would, or we would put like a live fish on there a round weight so it could kind of drag it around. And then we had some like of the diamond, triangle, or the flat ones, you know, that just stay, hold it down.
And you got to have your one big, like, 4-inch hook that's got, like,
the
fish head from, like, dinner.
Exactly. Wing out there. We did have that. And that's what we caught the sharks on every time,
right,
dude.
Right.
We actually hooked, two different times. We hooked two separate fishing excursions. We hooked into something massive.
Yeah.
When I say massive, one of them, as soon as it hit it, you know, the rod looked like it was fixing to touch the water. Just whoom. So we, you know, I run down there. It's taking line. So I try to tighten the drag just a little to try to slow it down. No, I mean, it was just still taking line. And I knew if I tightened it anymore, it was just going to pop. So I'm just like, it's just, it's crazy. It feels like, it felt like it was tied to the back of a car.
Dude, that sounds like a Marlin.
Someone's just driving away. Yeah. Okay. Well, I start to, I'm like, dude, we have like.
Did you get a bluefin?
I don't know. That's they stripped all like. It stripped all the line and snapped. And like when it got to the end of the line, pow, like it popped. It sounded like a gun went off. My dad was like, what happened? I was like, dude, I have no idea. Whatever that was.
You caught a submarine.
Took everything we got. Seriously, Kyle, slow it down.
So that happened two different times. The same thing where, you know, you can't tighten the drag anymore because you know it'll pop the line, but you also looking at the line going, well, we have very little left here to work with. And both times, and it was crazy.
Do you have deep sea rods or do you use just the regular? Man, I'll tell you what, you bring out like your lake fishing poles and you throw one of those in there. I don't care what size fish you're catching. It could be the smallest thing. It'll feel like the biggest bass you've ever hooked on that rod.
Yeah, my son was flipping. I mean, the sharks we caught were, 32 to 44-ish inches. You know, like big enough to be fun, but not like
dude, that's awesome.
Huge.
Yeah.
Dude, watching him try to land that was amazing. I mean, it was unbelievable.
He proud
was
dad
flipping
moment?
The free. Oh, yeah. I came like just, I knew he had it. Like, he's a great fisherman. So when he set the hook, I just got up from the chair and started slowly walking down there. I knew, I was like, unless he breaks it off, he'll be fine. Yeah. And he worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. It was really fun.
Man.
So, well, good times.
Man, I feel like that's a good note to end it on. It's much better than
Bears. Yeah, positive. Much better than Bears. Story. Bears downer, and then the dog was dead. Like, jeez, and then died. He's like, well, think about it. It finished in freedom. You know,
remember,
like,
remember the name of that?
You're trying to stick save it at that point, but you've ruined our night.
Remember the name of the book he was trying to promote that night when he was telling us about the dog bite too?
Yeah, that was the funny. I felt like that was the funniest thing I may have ever said.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
I mean, I was like, that was my top 10. My top 10 list of quick responses. Because he's like sitting there with his arm bandaged, having just finished the words, this dog bit me, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I got this great dog training book.
I'm like, are you sure about that?
You need a refund, dude. This shit's not working.
Fucking hey. All right.
This is in no way an indictment of your dog training abilities. No. I'm sure that it's fine. I understand that that was an anomalous story that happened with that poor puppy. And it's unfortunate.
I was really struggling with, you know, what am I going to do with this poor dog? And just, it was so challenging.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was a sweet dog. He was just terrified.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrified. And, you know, the fact that he died kind of free running down the road.
Too, like, dude, let's all like fully acknowledge the relief on your part.
Right.
Yeah. That, I mean, not to be selfish about it, but that is like a big, at least I'm not having to deal with that anymore, which sounds terrible, but I'm sure.
At least you're not walking up there and seeing the, like a car accident or something.
Exactly. Yeah. That too. Like, yeah.
Yeah. At least it was natural.
Yeah. All good things. Hey, we're going to stay positive on this final note. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and dude, that dog is in a happy fucking place right now.
Much happier.
Running in some big field. Yeah. Some big field.
Not afraid of anybody or anything. Just loving life.
Well, I think that is a good note to end this thing on. So please join me in thanking Baba Yaga, Bear Goes Long, for joining us tonight. How can they do that now? They don't have to click on anything really anymore.
No, they can send me a message on Twitter. You can shoot me a message on Discord. You can come join the room and hang out. We are still there from time to time.
Yeah.
This next week is roll week, so apparently Kyle's out.
I'm out.
Maybe
this
week, we'll try to.
Pretty much everybody says trading sucks during roll week, unless there's ball.
I hear enough people say that, and I just don't really feel it this week. If I'm going to take a week off, it just feels like a good one to take off. That's all.
It is early to not be feeling it. I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it hasn't even started.
I know. I thought it was last week, and so I kind of was already mentally into it. So now I'm at the point where I just hate the process of updating all my freaking levels and getting all the things. But I'd rather wait a week and let it kind of settle out and see where they're going to respect. But yeah,
I have had some great roll weeks, just because of, you know, sometimes they do get some movement in there and they'll get some nice directional stuff. But yeah, usually it's just freaking rotation.
And here's the thing I would say, just on the trading note of roll week, if you trade delta or large volume trade orders as a primary in a, you know, tool set, the roll week would not be a time to lean on that type of work. So you're going to see, like, you know, crazy delta, crazy order size, and you're going to be like, that doesn't seem to matter
if you're going to play delta, you have to map the old contract and the new contract side by side.
I really hope you guys get to use that information in the future when this happens after Roll Week is passed.
Roll Week will be finished by the time this episode airs.
I'm going to take my time editing this thing. So we'll be back soon with another exciting episode. But till that day, like, share, subscribe to all those things, and have a green week.
Have a green week.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.